Today we're going to begin our series called More, where we get more out of God than we've ever had before. And I know this, you know, sometimes we settle in life for the things that we go through and we just kind of settle back and take it. But how many know you don't have to take what you go through? If God is more than enough, then we know that we can ask for more than enough. Somebody say amen. Amen. Many of you didn't realize that a couple weeks ago, our church trailer was stolen. The one with big old Frontier Church on the side. That's a bold joker, ain't it? He stole it right after we had our Vision 2015 meeting. He came into the parking lot, put it on his truck, and drove off. And it had over $10,000 worth of stuff in the trailer. What do you do? I've already prayed. I don't need to pray. I declare. Somebody say amen. I said, praying time is over. It's time to go ahead and declare. Because if I've got more than enough, if greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, I don't need to pray. I just need to declare something. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we got before the church and we said, okay, God, we're not going to get mad. We're not going to rely on the police. Here's what we're going to do. God, within 14 days, we need our trailer back. We put a demand on it. And day number 12, I got a call. A man called on the phone and said, sir, are you guys missing a trailer? I said, yes, I am. He says, I'm in Ocala, and I was walking in the woods, and I saw a trailer in the woods that said Frontier Church, and I know the animals ain't having church out there. Maybe it's yours. What are the odds that in Ocala, in the midst of the forest, a man would be walking down in the woods and find our trailer? Why? Because we put a demand on it. We said we won't take what we've taken. We demand more. God is real. More means simply this, a greater or an additional quantity, a number or degree or amount. That's what most of us are looking for. Let me ask you this. How many want more peace? That means the absence of conflict. Let me see your hands. You're just tired of all the fighting. How many want more love? That undeniable thing called love that gives us hope for a better day. How many want acceptance? You want to be accepted by your peers and those people that you care about. How many want direction? I want to know what my purpose is for my life. What is it that I'm supposed to do? Don't get tired on me. You want to say this. How many want strength? How many want to be strengthen your life to survive life? How many know you got to survive life? Somebody say amen. How many want passion? The ability to be excited again. It ain't all sexual. Sometimes you ain't excited about getting up in the morning. You're not excited about living life. You just feel like you're going day to day. How many want more excitement, more passion? How many want more happiness where you have no more sorrows? The sorrows are lessened in your life. Who wants security, financial, emotional, physical? God, I'm tired of wondering where the money comes. I'm tired of dealing with this issue in my body. I'm tired of being hurt emotionally all the time. I want more God. And here's the reality. How many want more God, more encounters, more what he has and what he knows that we need? The Bible says this, that he knows the things that we have need of even before we ask. But here's the truth of the matter. All of the other things that we were talking about, they are byproducts of him. He is the God of more. That you can have security and love, peace, acceptance. You can have all the joy and happiness, but they all are offsprings of finding out who God is. He is the solution to them all. And I'm here to tell you that he stands in front of all that you need and all you need to do to get to the waters that will refresh you. And you got to just go through him. Somebody say amen. Has anybody ever heard of C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia? Anybody ever read that? Okay. There was a story that was in there, and it's talking about a time that a girl came upon Aslan. Aslan, according to C.S. Lewis, was the giant lion. He was huge. He was about this. His mane went up about this high, and he stood massively. And this young girl named Jill was thirsty, and she came to a stream. And when she came to the stream, Aslan, which represented Jesus, was there at the stream. And C.S. Lewis was a Christian author, so he portrayed Jesus as this giant lion standing before the stream. And the little girl Jill said, walked up to the stream, and the Aslan, the lion, looked at her and said, "Are you thirsty?" And she said to him, "I'm dying of thirst." And he says, "Come and drink." She looked at this massive animal, and she looked how big and the teeth he had and how large he was. And he says, "Well, if I come and if I come and get something to drink, will you move over there so I can bend down and drink some of the water?" And the lion began to growl and didn't move. And she realized she might as well have asked the mountain to move. And she looked at him and said, well, listen, if I come get something to drink, you won't hurt me, will you? You won't hurt me. Will you promise not to do anything to me if I come?" And the lion looked at her and said, "I promise nothing." And isn't that like the Lord? We want God, "I'll come to you and I'm thirsty and I'm hungry and I want to drink, but God, I got to put some conditions on it. Will you just leave me a little bit? Can I do this by myself? Can you stand over there? I'm not moving. Will you not hurt me? I'm not promising you anything." And I remember the girl looked at him and said, you know, she was so thirsty and so desirous of something to drink. She was looking at water as it just crystallized behind her. And she got even more thirsty. She's looking at it, and she takes another step before Aslan. And she says, you don't eat children, do you?" And he looked at it and said, "I have consumed boys and girls, men and women, kings and princes, cities and realms. I consumed them all." And I thought about that. Isn't Jesus the one that when you get a hold of him, he consumes you? He leaves nothing left. He says, "I promise you nothing. I have been known to take a little child and make him prophesy to nations. I've been known to take a person who's a nobody and make them somebody great. I've been known to take a child floating in twigs on water and make them a deliverer out of Egypt. I am not promising you anything. If you come and drink, get ready for more." And then the girl looked at him and said, "Well, then I must find someplace else to drink." He said, "You will die of thirst. There is no other stream." And isn't that true about Jesus, that we can go everywhere else? We can try to find other streams to refresh us. But the reality is there is no other stream. The only one that will quench your thirst and satisfy your hunger is God Almighty. He's the only one that can do it. Today, I want to tell you of a story, a very interesting story, about another woman who came to a stream and in water who was thirsty, a woman who wanted something more. And in this story, I want to look at her, a woman who met the original Aslan, the original Jesus, who came to a well, and her life was literally changed. But when we read this story, I want us to kind of change the atmosphere. I want to spy in on this conversation. I want to kind of all of us creep in and listen to the conversation between this man and this woman, a conversation that I believe is so controversial, a conversation that could have got him killed, a conversation that literally could have cost him his entire ministry. And yet it will give us insight why we want more. And oftentimes do things to get it that will never satisfy us. I want us to peek in, take the cameras and zoom in on this story. Will you come with me? Will you come with me if you will? Would you raise your hand? Would you join me in this journey here? I want us to first open up the pages of life found in John chapter 4, verse 5. And let us discover a truth and read a story. A forbidden conversation that might change your life forever. It's the story of the woman at the well. I want you to write this down as we begin our text. Write this word down, this phrase, "Jesus gets me." Jesus gets me. He understands us. Let me read verse 5. This is the story begins. Jesus has just come from a long journey. And it says in verse 5, eventually he came to a Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Verse 6, Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk. Some might say tired. How many know that most people don't even recognize? They think Jesus, oh, well, he's God's son. He never gets tired. How many know Jesus is just like you and I? He can get tired. He was tired as a human. He had to know what it was like to be tired. The Bible says he was tired from the long walk. The Bible says that he came from the Jerusalem area all the way over to Samaria. It's a 40-mile walk. And Jesus had come with his disciples, and after he had arrived, he was tired. And the Bible says this, look at this. He sat wearily beside the well at noontime. At noontime. I want you to focus on the long walk and noontime. It was, see, you got to understand where Jesus was coming from. It was all hills and valleys. It was up and down 40 miles of climbing hills to get to the place where the woman was at the well. And the Bible says when he arrived, he was so tired. He sat wearily. Now, why is that so important? That means he was exhausted. Has anybody ever felt that way in your life? Ever felt like your journey has been so long and you're just weary with the journey? You sometimes feel like you just want to sit down. Anybody ever been there but me? I mean, am I the only one that's See, Jesus gets us. He understands what it's like to be weary. He's not going to say, well, get up and dust the boots off. Come on, comb your hair, get up. He'll say, listen, I get you. I know what it's like, and I'm going to show you why. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 4:15. This is why he knows this. Hebrews 4:15 says that the high priest of ours understands our what? Our what? For he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. He knows what we go through because he went through it. He gets us. He's gone through the same sufferings you've been through. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what happens when you're tired and weary. He gets it. But that's why he called us to him. That's why he invites us in his journey to walk with him. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. This is the invitation that he's given to everyone in this room because he understands of the journey. He's walking it now. Here's what he says, and everyone read with me together. Go. Then Jesus said, read the next verse. Next verse, for my yoke and the burden I give you. Don't let anybody ever tell you living for Christ is hard. Don't even believe that nonsense. The reality is that the yoke he gives us is so simple and it's so easy. But he understands our infirmities. He knows what you're going through. And he knows the time that you're so weary that you need more. And God, in this word, in this series that we're going to be talking about, is going to show you through this life of this woman and some other things we'll talk about how you can achieve more. I want you to notice, go back to the verse we were looking at when we read first. Go back to John chapter 4, verse 6. I'm going to continue in our journey of this story. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from the long walk and sat wearily beside the well. Everybody say the well. There was a stream. Jesus had arrived early. He had gotten to this well. He was alone. Disciples had left him, and it was about noontime, right? Underline that, please. It was noontime. Why would the Bible take a moment to tell you what time it was? Why in the world would he make a marker, the Apostle John, make a marker in the Bible to tell you that it was noontime? There must be something significant about noontime. And I think it's very important when it comes to the idea of a woman coming to the well, because noontime was the hottest part of the day. And no one went and watered at the well at that time. The women never would gather. They gather in groups and would come around 6 or 7, but they would never come at noontime. But here comes this woman who's a loner, and she's walking this dirty road to the well, and Jesus is already in place waiting for her because she's coming because she's thirsty. But what she's thirsty for is living water. Somebody say amen. And so Jesus, like he does in our lives, you may not even understand what's going on, but you're moving and saying, I'm just thirsty. I have an urge. I need more. I got to get more out of life. And you find yourself walking at a time you would never have walked. And you arrive, and guess what? He's sitting there with you. Here's what I need you to understand. God had to get her alone so she could realize what she really needed. Let me show you about this woman at the well. She had, this woman, we haven't been introduced in the text yet, but I'm going to give you a preview. This woman that was coming to the well at noon had filled her life with people and stuff. It drowned out her hunger pains. And let me explain what that means. When you have hunger pains, anybody ever been hungry? You're just dissatisfied. You're like, man. And if you ever been around somebody that's hungry, how do they act? They're irritated, right? You don't even want to be around them because they're hungry and they're mean and they snap at you. You're dissatisfied and you don't even know it. And you're like, you know, what's wrong with you? And you go, oh, I hadn't eaten. Well, think about that in the spirit. How many of us are hungry in the spirit? We're thirsty in the spirit, and we're so dissatisfied with life. We're discontent that we get up in the heat of the day. I just got to go somewhere. I just got to go. And here God meets her at the well. And here's why she had to get her alone. Because sometimes when we're hungry, we begin to fill ourselves with stuff that doesn't matter. Let me take a look at John 4:16. Let me go down to verse 16. I want to show you something. Jesus, later talking to this lady, asked this question. Go ahead and read it together. Go. Next verse. Jesus is sitting there with this woman who showed up the well, and in the conversation, he says to her, go get your husband. Because here's the thing. This was an odd encounter. I'm going to explain here in a minute. He said, go get your husband. She said, I ain't got no husband. I ain't got a man. Watch what Jesus says. He said, you're right. You don't have a husband. Read the next verse. Don't. Oh. Oh. Woo. Somebody say, got her. I ain't got no man. He said, yeah, you're right. You ain't got no man. You had 5 of them, and the one you got ain't yours. See, I pray the day that I meet Jesus, I'm okay with truth. You hear me? Because you can't play with him. You can't outsmart the Lord. I mean, you can try to outtalk him, but boy, he'll throw one of them numbers on you. You'd be shamed. He said, watch this. He says, you had 5 husbands. That means you had 5 marriages you went through. And now you aren't married to the man you're shacking, living in sin with somebody that ain't your husband. Look at your neighbor and say, ain't your husband. Say it just like that. Ain't your husband. You got to look at this woman's life. Watch this. Watch this. Think about it. She was thirsty. I need you to hear me. She was thirsty. And she was trying to quench the thirst. She went from man to man to man to man, thinking, I've got something I've got to quench, and maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a man, maybe for some of us, it's money, maybe it's your job. If I could just get enough of this, and enough of that, and enough of this, and it'll never quench the thirst. She went from relationship to relationship and was never satisfied. And I love it. She got divorced 5 times because everything was wrong with them. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm talking truth right now. You say, hey, what's wrong with you? You always make me mad. You, why you do this to me? You. They don't do the right thing in my life. They should be treating me better. Hold on. 5 husbands, and none of them were good enough. There ain't one person that's common with all 5 of them. Divorce was the result. And at the end, she figured out, you know what? I'm tired of the commitment. If I can't be happy, I'll take somebody else's. Then I'll be satisfied. And she was still thirsty. Listen, don't ever lower your standards. Don't listen to me, church. Look at me. Everyone look at me. If you're looking at me, wave your hand at me. Let me see you looking. Thank you. All right. Don't ever lower your standards. You may think this is what I got to do to survive. The devil is a liar. What you're looking isn't coming from men. It's got to come from God. She had satisfied herself with flesh, but what she really was hungry for was for spirit. The Lord God wanted to quench her thirst. Why does a person contemplating suicide cry out? They're looking for more love. Why does an adulterer commit adultery? He's looking for more acceptance. Why does the scorner laugh at other progress? They're looking for direction. Why does a complainer complain? They're looking for more strength. Why does the depressed become depressed? Because they're looking for passion. Why are the sad sulking? Because they're looking for happiness. Why does the thief steal? Because he's looking for security. And what they're really saying is, I need more God. All of these byproducts, we shouldn't condemn. We know they need more God. And I love the fact that the Lord met the woman at the well. Before she even knew she needed to meet him, he was already there. Because her life choices were horizontal and not vertical. What do I mean by that? When your life choices are horizontal, you start looking to nouns. Anybody remember nouns when you were in grade school? What are they? People, places, things. When you're living horizontal, you're looking to people, places, and things to satisfy the hunger that's on the inside. But God says, I've called you to look vertical. When you look vertical, you look to the hills from which cometh your help. And I'm telling you, unless you do that, you will have an itch that cannot be scratched, a thirst that can't be quenched, and a hunger that will never be satisfied. You must look vertical. And here's what I love about the word. That's why when we look vertical, we look to the one who's been called by things that satisfy. Jesus has been called the bread of life, the manna from heaven, the living waters, the Christ, the Lamb, the first fruit of our faith, the true vine. He is that which satisfies. And when we live vertically, we don't just feed the body, but we feed our spirit as well. Let me say this to you as we talk about this woman at the well. I need you to understand this. How can you tell if you're not growing spiritually? How can you tell? Write this down. I need you to write this down. How you can tell you're not growing spiritually? If you find yourself growing more and more busy, but becoming less and less content, that's how you know you're not growing spiritually. You're so busy, but none of the busyness makes you happy. That's when you're spiritually, you need help. Peter gives us a clue on how to address this issue. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. I want you to read this verse. Go ahead. Let's read together. Not real milk, spiritual milk. Read. Somebody say cry out. Listen, I'm telling you, you've got to get to a point where you are so hungry, you're willing to cry out for him to quench your thirst. How many in here are hungry for God? How many really? I mean, if you would look at your life and you say, you know what? I need more. I'm tired of going day to day. Are you willing, though, to cry out? Here's what I learned with my son. I don't know about you, but I grew up single, and I didn't have anybody in my room. I was able to turn my TV on, turn it off. It was quiet in my apartment. And then when I got married to my wife, we had this beautiful, beautiful baby, Dustin, and he would just cry. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm not used to all that noise. I can't take it. I remember, and he would always come over, and he'd put him in the bed. He'd kick me in my back and slap me in the back of my head. I'm like, come on now. Baby's got fingernails. That hurts, you know. And I would say, this baby's crying. I'm like, God, I don't know if I can do this. And the Lord reminded me of something. He says, you know what? When a baby cries, it's the sound of life. That changed everything for me. Listen, let me say this to you. When you're a babe in Christ, when you cry out, that's the sound that you're alive. When a baby stops crying, you got a problem. I want to say to you, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, you got to be willing to cry out. I want to show you what happens at the well. Go to verse 7. John chapter 4, verse 7. John chapter 4, verse 7. Go ahead and read. Let me give you insight to this passage. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. That's very unique because actually at that season, in that time, in that culture, the women should never have drawn their own water. They had servants to do it. And so here she is having to go out and work. Have you ever felt like, man, I should be retired by now? I feel like I'm working so hard. I am just like exhausted. And why do I have to draw my own water? Everybody else seems to have it better than me. They got retirement plans and they got their... But I still have to work. I still got to go draw my own water. But you didn't understand that it was that thirst alone, that situation, that was going to bring you to Jesus. You were about to have an encounter with God, but he had to get you to a point to say, I'm tired of carrying my own water. I need thirst. I need help. I need to do something. And here's what the Bible says. Jesus said, give me to drink. Here's what I love. Look at verse 8. This is what happened to Jesus. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village. They were hungry to buy food. Verse 9. The woman was surprised, for the Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. And she said these words, Jesus, she said, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Here's a sign of someone being very thirsty. She was very sarcastic with Jesus. Why are you asking me? Sarcasm. I don't know if you ever seen this, but it reminds me of people who mask their hurt by their humor and the sorrow by their sarcasm. Because on the inside, they're hurt and they're wounded. And the irony of her conversation, she understood that she was a woman. And first of all, in Jewish society, it could have got him in trouble because as a rabbi, the rabbi etiquette of that day said this, a man should not salute a woman in a public place, not even his own wife. And Jesus still was talking to this woman at the well. There were six things that are a reproach to a scholar in Jewish history, to talk to a woman in the street. And it's even said, let him not even talk to the woman in the street, though she is his wife or his sister or his daughter. He was not to talk to her alone. But see, Jesus knew what she needed. She was thirsty. Now I want you to go down to verse 10. Watch this. He said, give me something to drink. He didn't see a divorced woman. He didn't see a despised Samaritan. He didn't see a working woman. He saw a woman that was thirsty. Look what he says in verse 10. Let's read. Wow. He says, if you only knew. Ladies and gentlemen, today as we go as the entrance to our service, to our ministry of the word of more, and to the next several weeks as we cover this, if you only knew. See, here's the reality of this woman. She didn't know what she needed, but he knew what she needed. She needed living water. And let me say this to you. If you become dissatisfied, this is how you know you're thirsting for something more and you don't know what it is. Here's a clue. When you become dissatisfied on your job, You become dissatisfied in your marriage, with people, with your church. You fall asleep on your pastor when he preaches. You're spiritually dry. And everything around you just irritates you. Let me make you a clue. Let me give you a big clue. It's not the external. It's the internal. That you're thirsty for God. And every one of us was born. The Bible says that he breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul. There are two parts to every person. One is a spirit and one is flesh. And you've got to feed both. Have you ever seen someone in the flesh that hadn't been fed? They become emaciated and they starve to death. Imagine what you look like in the spirit if you're not feeding yourself the word of God. And you don't know why you're irritated, but you're thirsty and you're hungry, but it's because you're a spirit and you cannot just feed yourself with only food. That's why he's called the bread of life. You need him in your life. You want to know how your ugly wife becomes pretty? She ain't never going to change, but you can. Amen, somebody. You're not ugly. I'm just saying, you know. You remember that beat-up car you used to hate to drive? When you get filled spiritually, you wash it, you put air in the tires, put air freshener on it, and you drive like it's the best thing you ever had. Nothing's changed. You changed. Remember that boss you used to hate? Hate to go to work? When you get spiritually fed, you'll love to go to work. Hey, how you doing, man? Good to see you. It's because it's on the inside. Proverbs says this, a man with a wounded spirit cannot even bear his, it says he, how's the Bible go? A man's spirit, watch this, everybody say a man's spirit bears his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? A man would be on a football field and break his arm and keep playing. Why? He's strong in his spirit. But you take that same big man and he has a broken spirit, he get a paper cut and cry like a baby. Why? Because the thing that satisfies us, folks, is not external. It's eternal. And I want you to see what Jesus says to her as we close. Verse 11, let's read. The woman says to him, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. And she said, and the well is very deep. How will you get this living water? More sarcasm. Verse 12. And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this water? Sarcasm. How can you offer better water than he and his sons and the animals that they enjoy? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. Let me say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that until you start feeding your spirit, man, you will find yourself hungry all the time, dissatisfied all the time. You can get a new job. You can move to a new location. You can leave the new church. You can go to a new place, but you can't leave you. People say, I'm going to drive to Atlanta. I say, I'll see you when you come back. Because Atlanta doesn't have it. Carolina doesn't have it. Alaska doesn't have it. Europe doesn't have it. Jesus has it. And until we begin to feed our spirit, man, we will find ourselves thirsty. I want you to look at verse 14. He says, but those who drink the water that I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. And I love what the woman says. Watch this. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again. I'll never be thirsty. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're looking for is spiritual. And if we can get the spiritual, then what the natural will be easy to handle. Right now, God says, I want to give you more.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm so glad you listened to the last message, and I hope it blessed your life. Listen, we would enjoy if you came out and participated with us every Sunday morning at 1335 Marshall Drive. We have services at 9 o'clock and 11, child care. It's awesome. Kids will love it. And if you can't make it on Sunday alone or you like to make it on another night, on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we have Bible Encounter, in which we actually go into the Word and you can ask questions and begin to grow as your family. Hey, I just want you to know we're so glad that you're tuning in and learning and growing. And as we always say here at Frontier Church, pursue purpose. We believe God's got some great things for you. Take care.